Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Still City Insider Podcast, episode number 103, season 4. I am Jeremy Ritz alongside my good friend, Jim Wexel. Jim, how are you? It's this rainy day out where I'm at. I don't know what it's doing out your neck of the woods.
It's raining and there's flood warnings tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's rainy and there's flood warnings, which means it's time for question day here on the podcast. So we have lots of questions that Still City Insider subscribers had put on the site. So we're going to jump into all of those, get to your questions, and this will probably be something that we do here in future episodes. So it'll be exciting to get these on here.
Yeah, very exciting. What are the questions?
All right, let's jump right in. All right, here we go. So really this one here, Jim, just referencing one of your own columns, talking about the future of the quarterback position here with Pittsburgh. What do you see transpiring and how will this play out? Bringing two new players in, you've got a Super Bowl winner in Russell Wilson, but you have this young, talented guy in Justin Fields. What's the future of this position for the Steelers?
Hey, my understanding is there is not going to be a future determined before the start of regular season, that they're going to let things play out and trust that these players, at least one of them, will want to come back the following year and not test free agency. That's the risk, that they test free agency. But they're not going to give Justin Fields $25 million. I mean, that was part of the reason they got him so cheap, because nobody wanted that $25 million guaranteed, even an injury, a price tag for the following season. And the point was made to me that why would he want to go to a third team in 3 years? He's a young guy. The chances are that he's going to get settled in here, like it. And if he sees the future is all his in a great football town with really cool uniforms, that he'll want to stay. And Russell Wilson could be the same thing. Point was made to me how much money he's made. I don't know if the $266 million is before the $40 million he's going to make this year. But it's I Googled how much he's made already, and he's made $266 million. So how much more does he need? And apparently he has a wife who makes a ton of money too. So this guy's hungry for a ring. He's hungry to show everybody how wrong they were about him being done. So he's going to want to, he may want to sign cheap enough, hometown discount anyway.
Yeah.
So that kind of made sense to me, you know, because I've been racking my brain about what's going to happen at the quarterback position. What are they doing? Just getting 2 1-year guys? I know they got lucky to do that. They were fortunate. And this franchise is what sells. It sells itself. Mm-hmm. You don't really need a con man to talk people into coming here. So they got lucky and they think they can take advantage of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting juxtaposition. When you look at the two different stories surrounding both of these quarterbacks, like you said, Wilson, your veteran guy who's made a ton of money. The Broncos are paying him to play for the Steelers essentially this year. And he wants to prove it. He wants to prove himself that he could still play in this league, which is going to create good competition. You have this young guy coming in who wants stability. So maybe they're not going to name a starter. It's good for competition, but then let's throw this in there.
No, they've named the starter. The starter's Russell Wilson. The starter's Russell Wilson.
So you don't think there'll be any competition? Have to be named.
What?
You don't think
what? What if Justin Fields has a perfect preseason? You know, perfect passer rating. Didn't Kenny Pickett have a perfect passer rating last preseason? And what did that teach us? It taught us squat.
Not a damn thing.
Justin Fields is not going to beat him out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would have to be clearly evident. And why would that be? What has Justin Fields shown anyone to make us think he has a chance? And or even Justin to think he has a chance?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just keep working. That's all. Understand the system. Maybe the future's yours. Work your way in. Injuries happen all the time, especially at that position. So, yeah.
And when we talk about the draft, Jim, if they were going to add a guy, I saw that they're going to bring in Michael Penix for a visit. Do you still see them adding in the draft to the room?
I don't. I like Penix, but I didn't love him in a title game. Other people love him and say that we should disregard that game a bit because I believe he was playing with an injury. Okay. So, I like him and I know a scout that loves him, but I keep hearing first round now. If you want him, you could draft him the first round, and I don't see them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, the rationale given to me of the future at the position, I think they're going to let it ride and see what they got with these two guys.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So shifting gears, going from QB to cornerback. And this question that was brought up. So it is Corey Trice and Rush enough at the cornerback position for them not to draft a cornerback this year here at the end of the month?
You know, I was talking to a guy with the Steelers and I told him, you know, I'm part of the problem in the Corey Trice overhyping. I remember standing there late spring practice, watching one of the OTAs, and Corey Trice picked off a couple balls. It didn't strike me that he was playing particularly well as a corner. I you can't tell in shorts. All you can tell is what the coaches have intended and how much they want to see him and how much they want to work him. So he gets a couple picks. And of course, the easy story is big Joey Porter, big Corey Trice. So I wasn't the only one that did it that day. And anyone that didn't do it that day saw the other guys writing it and did it the next day. Mm-hmm. So Corey Trice became a huge spring name, like he's actually doing something in the spring. I mean, he just caught a couple errant balls. And now we see from these quarterbacks, what was the big deal about that? So Corey Trice then gets hurt, the first day of camp? He didn't get it. He never put the pads on. And so now a seventh round pick, a tall corner, 6'3", and there's only one Mel Blunt for a reason. Tall cornerbacks, it ain't easy. You got to get low. You got to be shifty. You got to be agile. Those tall cornerbacks you killed. And that may have been the fear when he was drafted seventh round. Maybe it was his first severe injury. Now he's got two severe injuries. You can't count on him. You can't count on him.
Mm-hmm.
If he comes along, it's a bonus. Now, Darius Rush played 30 snaps in his first game. In the next nine games, he played 9 snaps. And like the last 5, he was inactive. A healthy scratch. Why in the world do people think that they're going to count on him? Now, if he comes on, great. I mean, he had a good 40 time. But he got cut, I think, by 2 teams or one. I forget. He was picked off a practice squad. He was considered highly enough to be on someone's practice squad. But, I mean, there's no reason to believe out of 39 snaps, 30 of them were played in week 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't hardly play the rest of the way. I don't see any rise. I don't see any reason to believe. Now, again, he could do it, and he's going to be another guy who's in the competition to make the team, and they're going to need gunners. They lost Pierre, and it doesn't look like they're looking to sign Miles Boykin back. So they're going to need punt gunners. That could be a good position for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you don't not draft a corner because of those two guys.
Yeah. So cornerback is still on the table, and it should be a pick here at the end of the month. So we're going to shift over to the still.
Oh, you know what? I meant to ask you, how do you spell juxtaposition? Because I'd like to work that into my next book. That was a smooth. That was like a fancy word, man. I like that.
Thanks. I did a little research before I came on here, and I tried to weave that in there. So typically, you're the wordsmith, but I got one in there today. So, yeah. All right. So
you know how to spell it, though.
I do. J-U-X-T-A. CJ, you put me on the spot there, man. I was a former.
You responded. It was such a long word. I don't think we have time for you to spell it.
Former English teacher right here. That's what I
okay.
So okay. Turn day trader. Next one. This is from the Southside message board from the Still City Insider. Will the Steelers add a free agent before the draft? That's pretty vague.
It's pretty vague. But it's very possible. I can say maybe.
Maybe.
You know, I don't know why we need to know this stuff, but let's just wait and see. If it happens. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, they could sign some scrap, you know, re-sign one of their guys, maybe Miles Boykin. I'd like to see that.
Yeah. Well, they've already added a ton, right? So I think we got to be careful about that.
I'm not that happy. They added a couple quarterbacks that they got lucky with, and they added a $9 million a year inside linebacker who played in the shadow of the guy next to him. So I don't know that this was a Roquan Smith level signing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the huge impact signing. So they got a medium rate ILB who's a smart decision because he's so young and he's a three down backer. And okay, so the quarterbacks fell into their laps, and then they got the linebackers, and they got a couple really cheap receivers and a really bad quarterback. And a broken down defensive lineman.
Or Darryl Patterson.
Who's he?
The running back kick returner.
Cordarrelle. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's 33. I mean, he's cheap. And Quez Watkins drops a lot of balls. He's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not enamored of what they got. You know, one year they signed Jeff Hardings. Another year they signed James Ferrier. This stuff has been done before.
Mm-hmm.
They got into the years of the bloated quarterback cap, and you know, everybody thinks this is some new age Steelers thing. It just seems like old business to me. I think they've actually run out of steam. I don't think they've added, you know, there's no center, there's the defensive lineman. I mean, I said broken down because Dean Lowry is 29, going to turn 30, and he tore pec last year and missed half the season. I think it was half the season. So, I mean, he might not be broken down. He could be a valuable depth signing. This could be a Travis Kersky-like move. Nick Eason. Those are good moves.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they need center, wide receiver. I mean, when you trade a guy, I assume they had a plan to replace the wide receiver without having to draft a second-round pick again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that you're enamored with that Xavier Leggett. I can't pronounce his last name.
Yeah, but he's big, strong, fast, and the Steelers seem interested in him.
Yeah.
I like this big body aspect. I like that. I mean, especially someone that's going to block. I think that's what we're going to get in such a deep receiver class. I think we're going to get a real good attitude guy. You know, the Steelers have had some decent luck at drafting receivers, even though they still need one, and they draft one every year, it seems. They have gotten a lot of crappy attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
This is the home of Hines Ward. I think they're going to get a Hines Ward type, and that's this guy's play style.
Yeah. And I'm just reading your column too. You talked about the need for, I'm pretty sure you said ass kickers. So, and he would be one of those that has that label.
It's hard to find an ass kicker on offense. You know, I mean, not on the line, skill players and receivers. But last year I made Joey Porter Jr. one. And let's see, last year, my ass kicker's number one was Jalen Carter. And wasn't he the best player at rookie? Was he the best rookie? I don't know who won rookie of the year, but Jalen Carter kind of dominated. Now I had Broderick Jones, number seven, Joey Porter Jr., number 11. And Darnell Washington, number 13. So they got three ass kickers. And I don't know why I didn't put Keanu Benton on there.
Yeah.
I could have nailed four of them, but yeah.
Yeah.
So looking forward to similar success this year, as long as Omar, you know, gets the story in time. He can get the ass kickers again.
And maybe there's an ass kicker among the centers, because another one of the questions that came through is in relation to the center position. And it's, do you think the Steelers are going to come away from the draft with their center of the future? And who would be your choice, your target of all the center prospects out there this year?
Well, I mean, the ass kickers are Jackson Powers Johnson and Zach Frazier. Graham Barton's more of a technician. And I don't want to say he doesn't kick enough ass, but he's a Duke tackle. So I'm going to leave the other guys as the ass kickers in front of him. But Graham Barton might be the guy that I like the most, because after all, hit the fallback, if he can't play center, is he can play left tackle for you.
Yes.
So, but I really want, JPJ has his detractors, And he's only been a one-year starter. He's only done this 1 year. But man, he's the kind of guy you put in the middle of the line. It just transforms the energy of the entire group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would like to see them trade down in the first round and then trade back up in the second and get two ass kickers, including a center and a tackle. And I think you may have to draft the tackle in the first round. And if you want one of those incredibly brutal right tackles, you're going to have to probably stick at 20. And I just saw a mock today. Lance Zierlein's mock had the tackle Fuaga from Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I mean, that's setting a tone. And then you could trade up in the second round, maybe get a Zach Frazier. And now you got another tone setter. Yeah. Or Barton, whatever. I'm always saying that because JPJ is probably going to be gone by then. But
yeah,
it'd be nice to add two of those to the line. And so what's the next question?
Well, that was it. And then because the next one is that long question that you said that you were going to get to, that you have to read from your phone.
I know there was a question I didn't give you. It was what positions besides center? And one of the questions, he phrased it with the word ILB in it. And everybody seems to think they're going to draft an ILB. And I just don't know. I don't know. They have a Queen and they have Roberts. And that's a pretty sturdy two.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Cole Holcomb. I know you can't count on him, but he's still there. And you have Mark Robinson. Do you need to draft one high? I don't know, because they have, I think they need two offensive linemen. I've always wanted them to take defensive linemen. They signed Lowry and it's a weak crop for defensive linemen. So I'll give them a pass, but I think that they may need to, and they need a corner, a nickel at least, and they need a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see an ILB. It's a weak crop of ILBs too, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And okay. Then, the long question.
The long question. Yes.
All right. Sorry. I got to get to it here. It's by hindsight. And I don't know if I have an answer for it, but it's such a good question. Given the way, for examples, the Rooneys handled the tragedies with Shazier and Tuitt from the first minutes until the last, that recent NFLPA survey is difficult to reconcile. I doubt Shazier or Tuitt or their families would agree with those results. Do you have other stories or anecdotes where the Rooneys went above and beyond what you might see from other teams? Well, their history is littered with that kind of stuff. Dick Hope tells a story of when he was injured and they called him in and gave him some money. There are countless stories, and I wish I could recall them perfectly, but countless stories of them being given money. It goes back to Wizzer White. Wizzer White was criticized. The Steelers went way out of their way to convince him not to go over to England to become a Rhodes Scholar. He was their first star that they had drafted. It drafted number one. He warned everybody, don't draft me because I'm going to get my Rhodes Scholarship. And the Steelers found out a way they could make him wait until December. So they signed him for $15,000 a year, which was twice what top paid NFL player Sammy Baugh was making. And there was a lot of reports that Wizzer White wasn't getting the blocking because his line was jealous. And the lineman would deny that. They just say, we just stink. And so Wizzer went to Rooney, giving them a lot of the money back. I don't know if he did. I think he mailed it to him. Rooney mailed it all back, and he gave him some extra at the end of the year because the Wizzer got beat up, man. He got beat up bad. Plus they played like four exhibitions in the 2 weeks before the first game. So he played like five games in 2 weeks.
Wow.
He was just totally beat up. That's how they made money. We got a star player. Let's go to Erie. Let's go to Youngstown. let's play some games. So anyway, that goes way back, and it's a Steeler thing, helping out Fats Holmes. Fats couldn't get in the day he came late, the day that he shot the helicopter, but he was going to see the Rooneys for some extra money because they had been kind to him in the past. And he couldn't get in because of traffic, so he started shooting at cars on the bridge because of the traffic, and then drove to the Ohio Turnpike and started shooting at the cops. Never had to serve a day in prison, you know, and people complain about Juju Smith-Schuster dancing too much. So,
wow.
Okay, where were we? So I don't know. I love that question. And this thing about the NFLPA, you know, when I first heard this series of questions, one of them is there a lactating room? And they were being criticized because there's not a lactating room. Not sure what that is. I'm definitely sure I don't want to know what it is. And I never will walk in on one because if it's what I think it is. Now, if that's the kind of stuff, come on, don't these guys make enough money? You know, lactate at home.
So as a former principal, I can answer this question. No, it's a space where, you know, a female staff member would be able to nurse her child. So I'm guessing players' wives would have a space to be able to nurse their children. That's what I'm guessing. Maybe that facility did not exist. I don't know.
Players' wives? You can't do that at home?
I'm sure you can.
Well, it's doing at the practice facility anyways.
I don't know.
You know, I'm probably going to get all kind of backlash because I love talking, but I didn't trust that survey at all. And because, yeah. I mean, we in the media, we've been pushed into the old racquetball court that Cowher used to whip Kevin Colbert. Cowher was an animal on a racquetball court. He loved it. And nobody plays since Cowher left. So they put the media in there and we're squeezed in there. We're out of the main building. Mm-hmm. What every coach always wants is the media out of the building, and they got it done. And, you know, we go over and it's a nice interview area and everything's comfortable for me. And the cafeteria is outstanding and I'm not going to complain. It's a still brand new facility to me, has all the accoutrements you need. On draft day, they move us back into our old media room and it's massive. I mean, we've been shoved out and I'm still not going to complain.
Yeah.
I don't know about that survey. I mean, these other teams, they must have massive lactating rooms. It must be incredible to see.
I can take that so many ways, but because this is a family program, I won't.
If it's a family program, they're going to probably shut us down next week. Hopefully the families aren't watching. It's just our football boys.
There we go. Yeah. Massive lactating room. Maybe that's the title of this episode. Juxtaposing the massive lactating rooms around the NFL.
Yeah, you know, you put some great clickbait on the marketing 2 weeks ago. I know it wasn't your intention. Khan strikes again.
Oh, King Khan.
No, Khan strikes again.
Oh, okay.
It was big letters. Khan strikes again. Because we were talking about Omar's second week of free agency. And everybody must have thought that there must have been a new move made by Khan. You know, what now? But we had 2,000 and we had 2,000 hits in the first hour or something.
That was the most we've ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I have to
make something up.
This time, don't put lactating room in the marketing, please. I'm begging you.
Massive lactating room.
Questions on future QBs, Corey Trice. And then, you know, sprinkle those names in there. We'll get at least half that 2,000 hits.
Yeah. Yeah. At least 80.
Don't put lactating room in there.
I won't, Jim. I promise. I promise. I'll be getting a message, text message. What the hell did you do?
I'm not going to move the comments this week.
It's probably a good idea. Probably a good idea. But that's going to do it for episode 103. Anything else you want to hit on, Jim?
No, we got our draft series starting tomorrow with Roy Countryman, and I'm excited about that. And Roy will be on with us, I'm sure, one or two of these upcoming shows, and we'll get some other experts and we won't have to talk to me as much,
and
which is a relief to all of us.
No, everybody loves Jim. Loves Jim. So that's a new sitcom coming out anyway. That's gonna do it for episode 103. Check out Jim's work at the Still City Insider. Give him a follow on X at Jim Wexel. We will see you back here next week for episode number 104 of the Still City Insider podcast. Jim, have a great week.
Peace, brother.
All right, take care.